C-minus 60. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. Clark had far less patience than usual with the well-meaning cab driver's delighted surprise. "You're Clark McCarthy!" But he tried as hard as he could to be polite. He was pushed to the limit when the driver later grew curious and asked why he was going home from an airport with no luggage. Clark came up with the perfunctory but convincing lie that he'd driven someone to the airport and left the car so they could drive home when they returned. "Who are you driving?" the persistent driver asked. "Was it Dan? What does he think about all this Kerguelen stuff anyway? Has he said anything?" "Listen, man, I'm pretty tired here. It wasn't Dan, and he hasn't said anything about anything, okay?" The driver nodded, message firmly received, and didn't speak again until Clark asked him if he knew the old drive-in. "Everyone in the world knows that drive-in," the man replied with a warm grin. It had been a long time since Clark last arrived in Birchwood in a car he wasn't driving. He passively took in his surroundings. The sights included the indistinct turnoff that led to Richard Walker's secret home, and later the "Proud Home of Dan McCarthy" notice at the bottom of the "Welcome to Birchwood" sign. Once again, he couldn't help but wonder what must have been going through Dan's mind, both when he made the unilateral decision to tell Timo everything, and also in the aftermath when the magnitude of his actions started to sink in. Given the hour, New Kerguelen Bar and Grill was far quieter than it had been the previous evening. Clark headed straight for the bar instead of the busier dining area. He saw Phil Norris sitting at the bar, his bar, and focusing on a newspaper's crossword puzzle as he so often did. Clark then silently signaled to the bartender with two fingers, indifferent as to whether Phil would turn around and see him or if he'd make it to an empty booth unnoticed. "There you go, Mr. McCarthy," the bartender said, settling that particular issue. Phil saw the two beers and turned around, expecting to see two people. "Thirsty?" he laughed when he saw only Clark. "You do know that drinks were only free last night, don't you?" "It's my day off," Clark said, pulling up a stool next to Phil. Phil folded his newspaper. "Did Emma's flight get away okay?" "She's on the way to New York," Clark replied, choosing his words carefully. He was glad that Phil didn't ask any further questions and instead joined him in indulging in a full day of much-needed distractions. They ate twice, watched a few games on the big screens, drank a few beers, and played some cards with the bar's motley crew of Saturday regulars. It didn't make Clark forget what had happened at the airport or stop worrying about what might happen next, of course, but it was a better day than he would have had if he'd gone home with Dan. It was dark outside, and both Henry McCarthy and Mr. Bird had arrived at the bar by the time Clark finally decided to make a move, and he opted to walk home rather than get another cab, mainly because he didn't want to face another excited driver. The mere thought of going home had brought the full weight of reality crashing back down onto his shoulders, and it was hard enough to keep himself together without any more prying questions.
"Spare any change, Mr. McCarthy?"
a croaky voice asked from the side of the steps outside New Kerguelen. Clark turned to see a rough-looking man around his own age, evidently homeless, but not obviously under the influence of anything but hunger.
"I don't have any cash," Clark said. "You want something to eat?"
The man nodded gratefully.
"Even better."
Clark quickly returned inside and told Phil that he'd changed his mind about going home right away and now fancied grabbing a bite to eat before he left. He had taken leftovers home before, so it would be easy enough to order too much and pretend he was full.
"Just you?"
Phil asked, folding his newspaper and picking it up. Clark pretended to look around for a lost dining partner.
I think I came here by myself."
Immediately, Phil's demeanor changed.
"Give me your card," he snapped.
"What?
Deaf as well as stupid, are we?"
Clark couldn't hide his confusion.
"Phil, what are you talking about?"
Phil grabbed the sleeve of Clark's coat and pulled him to the door. Clark could have planted his weight if he wanted to, but he didn't know what was going on and went along with it for now. At the door, Phil led Clark outside and pointed up to a security camera before motioning towards the homeless man.
"Do you think I zip up the back? You think I'm running a charity here and that you get to decide how to spend its money?"
"Phil, the guy's starving out here."
"Give me your card,"
Phil repeated.
Clark reluctantly handed over his meal card, knowing there was no sense in holding on to it since it would be utterly worthless without Phil's willingness to honor it. "You can come in for a bite just this once," Phil told the other man. "Just this once." The man keenly hurried inside, patting Phil's arm in thanks as he went. Once Clark's wallet was back in his pocket, one card lighter, Phil smacked him across the side of the head with his newspaper. "What the hell, man?" Clark protested, backing away. "Lie to me again," Phil hissed. "See how that works out for you."